anyone seen Winston?
No, why?
I've got a present for him.
A present? I say, I love presents. Your mother once gave me the most fitting present when we lived in pyjamas.
Pyjamas?
Yes, that's what she brought me as a present. We were living in Rangoon at the time.
Come on, Father. Concentrate on your breakfast, eh? Why don't you get stuck into that lovely blancmange?
Oh, yes, good old blancmange. That's the stuff to feed the troops, eh? That's why Wellington beat Napoleon at Waterloo, you know, fed the men on sherry trifle and green gage jelly. Yum, yum, they cried as the cannon roared and the sabres slashed.
Jolly good, Father. How fascinating. Now then, Nancy, what's this present you've brought Winston?
Well, don't tell him you've seen it, will you? It's supposed to be a surprise, and I shouldn't really... Why not? Why shouldn't you see it? I'll just take it out of its box and its wrappings.
Ah, tissue paper. I adore tissue paper. Deep purple tissue paper. What fun.
There. What do you think of Winston's present?
It's a suit.
Of course it's a suit, you booby.
Yes, but it's pink.
Oh, that's what the Lancers in Bengal used to wear when they were in full dress. Pink bum starver jackets and bottle green tight trousers with navy blue tassels on their spurs. Fearfully attractive brutes they looked.
But we're not in Bengal, Father. And Winston isn't a Lancer. And he'll look absolutely stupid in a pink suit.
No, he won't. He'll look ravishing. Pink will really suit Winston. It matches the colour of his eyeballs.
It's made of cord, a very expensive cord, too. I bought it because he ruined his navy blue suit, saving us from the fire and Father's beastly pipe, and... Do you really think he'll like it, Rosie?
I think he'll love it at first sight, Nancy. And I think you're a wonderful person for thinking of it. It wouldn't have occurred to me.
I wonder where he is. Did anyone see him last evening?
Well, I certainly didn't. I was far too busy on my book. I'm halfway through chapter 3, and I've just come to the fascinating bit where the authorities at Derby had to make up their minds and choose between selling the Kirtley 060s to the Mediterranean Railway of Italy...
Or stuffing them up their jackets and pretending they were Errol Flynn.
Father!
He was in the Bengal Lancers, you know, old Errol Flynn. Your mother and I once saw him in a moving cinema house in Shanghai. Had fleas the size of border terriers.
I didn't see him last night either. He always calls in my workroom to say good night, and last night he didn't.
He was probably drunk.
Oh, stout fellow. I once got as drunk as a lord in Royal Leamington Spa. I was in Nottinghamshire at the time, buying a Clumber Spaniel for your mother's cousin, who just lost her Dalmatian in a boating accident, and I didn't see him either.
Who?
Winston. He normally comes into my shed around 6 for a chin wagon to spot a mutual trumping. He didn't turn up last night. I was quite distraught. I was wearing my plus fours, especially for the occasion.
Where on earth is he? Where's Winston? I felt this awful panic sweep over me. It consumed me. I went all cold inside. Without speaking, we all got up from the breakfast table and positively raced round the house looking for Winston. Even William.
Winston! Winston, where are you?
Winston! Winston!
I think I'll potter off down to my shed and see if he's bedded himself under a pile of leaves. Gone into hibernation. If I find him, I'll toss him a couple of carrots and the odd cough lozenge or two. Winston! Winston, where are you, old boy?
He was not to be found. We searched high and low. He was not in Father's shed, he was not in the house, he was not in the garden. I prodded in a pile of leaves, but all I found was a stack of Father's empty gin bottles.
Winston! Where are you, Winston? Come on, Winston, come on! Come on, my love. Come back to us.
We gathered once more in the breakfast room. We were a somber gathering. A rather fearful gathering.
He's not here. Where the hell's he got to?
It's all very simple. He probably sneaked out last night, found the nearest pub, had one of his monumental sessions, got blind drunk, and he's slipping it off in a ditch under a hedgerow.
William, it might have escaped your notice, but we are now living in High London suburbia. And in High London suburbia, you do not get ditches and hedgerows.
And in any case, that's a disgraceful thing to say about him. I know he smells something awful in summer. I know his teeth need a good going over, and I know he tramps muck all over the house with his wellies, and the bathroom's full of his toenail clippings, but basically, deep down, he's honest and he's true and he's... Oh, you don't think he's run off back home, do you?
What?
Well, I thought it was strange, but one evening last week I found him sitting high up in the sycamore tree at the bottom of the garden. He had this strange, dreamy look in his eyes. He looked all sad and forlorn and wistful. I called up to him and he looked down and there were tears in his eyes. I said, what are you doing, Winston? And he said, dreaming. And I said, dreaming about what? And he said, oh, this and that, Rosie, this and that. And then he shinned down the tree and ran off into the house without saying a word.
Why didn't you tell me all this at the time, Rosie?
I mean, you don't have to be told everything, Nancy. We are entitled to our private secrets in this family. You're not the great Earth Mother, you know, the fount of all knowledge, the sun around which we all revolve. We've got lives of our own, Nancy, and what's mine is mine, and I'm sticking to it. I'm off.
Where are you going?
You see? Questions. Questions, questions, questions. Well, if you must know, Nancy, I'm going to jump in the car and drive round the streets to see if I can find Winston. Intensely practical. No panics, no tantrums. Good old Rosie. Bye-bye.
I think we should ring for the police.
The police? Why?
Because that's where he'll be. He'll have got drunk and got himself in trouble.
What sort of trouble?
Oh, with Winston, the world's his oyster as regards getting into trouble. He's probably stolen the crown jewels. He'll have hijacked the Paddington to Paton Express. He'll have set up a massage parlour for lumberjacks in the pavilion at Lawns.
No, no, boy, he'll have jigged off to India.
India?
Oh, yes. She was always fearfully interested in my stories about India, you know. Made a deep impression on him by yarns about the subcontinent. Oh, he'll be there, in Calcutta, making fretwork billiard tables and... Oh, no. No, no, he won't. He'll have joined the army.
The army?
Yes, following in my footsteps.
But you were never in the army, Father.
Well, not in body, William, but in spirit. Oh, yes. Did I ever tell you about that time I led this platoon of Gurkhas as we stormed the fuzzy-wuzzy lines of the Limpopo Basin?
Winston, where are you, my love? You haven't turned tail and scuttled back home to Winterleaf Gunner, have you? No, Winston, you wouldn't do that to us. You haven't taken fright and left us to fend for ourselves. No, you haven't done that. You wouldn't. Weave your spells, Winston. Weave your magic and tell us where you are. He's been knocked down by a removal van. I know it. He's been run over and he's lying in hospital with tubes sticking out of his nose. No. He's lost his memory. He's lost his memory and he's sleeping rough in a cardboard box under the arches at Charing Cross. No, not that. He went out to organise Father's lines of communication and got the wrong bus home, and now he's in Dagenham trying to get the natives to understand him and show him how to work the barriers on the tube stations. That's it, yes, that's it.
Oh, Winston! Winston, where are you?
There's no need to panic, Nancy. I know where he is.
What? You've known all along where he is?
Yes, he's been kidnapped by white slavers. He's working in Bangkok as a doorkeeper in the House of Pleasure. Lucky blighter. Did I ever tell you about that frightfully pleasant concubine your mother got pally with when we lived in India? She suffered from flat feet and fluid retention, and your mother took her under her wing. Oh, it's typical. Your mother was always kindness personified when it came to dealing with victims of fluid retention.
Rosie came back just before lunch and said there was no sign of Winston. She'd asked at all the pubs within a 10-mile radius. Nothing. She'd searched the towpath of the Thames and thoroughly scoured the local garden centre. Nothing. Nothing at all.
I'm sorry I snapped at you this morning, Nancy.
That's all right, Rosie.
I was distraught about Winston.
So was I. I still am.
What's happened to him, Nancy? Where the hell is he?
I don't know, Rosie. I haven't a clue.
I bet he's gone home. I know he's gone home.
So do I.
He's not cut out for city life. He's not cut out for suburbia.
I know. They don't approve of trapping squirrels in suburbia.
I know.
They don't appreciate rogues and philosophers and fat nut brown boozers' bellies and rude tattoos above your nipples.
I know. They don't have trout hatcheries and kingfishers in the city. They don't have mad March hares in suburbia and scrumpy pubs and cuckoo trees. Of course they don't. You bloody fool, Rosie. Of course they don't.
I'm a fool too. I should never have insisted Winston go out and find himself a job. I shouldn't have insulted him by saying he should pay his way in the house. What a dreadful thing to do. He's a proud man. He's a poet, and he does pay his way. He pays his way in the house and in our lives by just being himself, by just being dear old lovable Winston.
I know.
Right. We'll make one last effort.
Good.
We'll organise a proper search party like we did when you and William were children and we played hide-and-seek with Father.
Great idea, Nancy. I mean, we always found Father in the end, didn't we?
Always, Rosie. Worst luck. I went in search of William. I found him in his study, tapping away at his typewriter, legs crossed, brows furrowed, shoulders hunched and elbows covered in brown blotches. William, I want a word with you.
Not now, Nancy.
Why not?
I'm in the middle of a chapter. I'm at the crucial point. Should the Midland Railway strike out from Leeds across the Pennines, or should it garner its resources?
I don't care about the Midland Railway, William. I hate the Pennines and all those slack-jawed sheep. I detest Leeds and all those slack-jawed women with high heels and smokers' coughs. I don't care about your book. I care about Winston. Now get yourself out of that chair and start looking for him.
No.
What?
I'm sick to death of being bullied and bossed by you, Nancy. And I'm even sicker of this obsession with Winston.
Obsession?
Yes, obsession. The only topic of conversation in this house, morning, noon and night, is Winston. Winston this, Winston that. I hope Winston's fathomed out how to work the toilet roll dispenser. I wish Winston would stop sitting on the roof of the loft conversion. Do you think Winston's happy? Do you think he's sad? Do you think his bowels are in order? Well, I couldn't care less about Winston. I'm not in the least bit concerned whether he's happy or whether he's sad. I hope he strangles himself on the toilet roll dispenser and falls off the loft conversion and breaks his neck.
William!
All I care about is my writing and my books. And so should you.
What?
My dear Nancy, without the income generated from my books, this household could not possibly survive as a viable financial entity.
You what?
It's my books that keeps us afloat.
You pathetic, self-satisfied little squirt!
I beg your pardon.
Your books keeping us afloat? Rubbish! Your books don't even keep Father in bottles of lung balsam. Your books don't even pay for a year's supply of lavatory cleaner. A history of the light railways of County Antrim. Wow! Terrific! An instant bestseller! Jackie Collins, move over. Watch out, Frederick Forsyth. You should have done what Winston suggested last year and written a mucky book about love and passion and intrigue in high places. And then perhaps you could have boasted about keeping the family afloat. But no, you've no chance. What do you know about love and passion? What do you know about romance and adventure? You're hopeless, William. Irredeemably wet and useless.
You wait, Nessie. Just you wait and see, beloved sister of mine. I'll make you eat your words. I'll write a bestseller, and you'll all be grovelling then. where was I? It seemed that the problems of constructing viaducts over some of the wildest and most rugged terrain of... terrain. Yeah, that's a good word. Apt. Apposite. Terrain. It's a real literary word.
We kept up the search for Winston all afternoon and halfway through the sour-faced evening. I thought I saw him leaning on the railings by the lock, but it turned out to be a slightly well-known actress from a television soap opera. Rosie thought she saw him skulking into a pub. I thought it was that awful little tick Jimmy Tarbuck, but I followed her inside. It was a horrid pub, full of space invader machines and shifty men in jeans and industrial boots with their shirt tails hanging out. Winston was not there.
Space invader? Oh, that's it then, Nancy. I'm shattered. I can't take any more.
Neither can I. We'll go back home and pour ourselves a couple of stiff G&Ts.
Lovely.
We slumped down in the drawing room. We were both drained. Emotionally and physically, and our clothes smelled of stale hangdog beer. We didn't speak. We hardly touched our G&Ds. Presently Father shuffled in, waved his pipe in greeting and said,
Poor old chaps, I had green cage jelly for tea.
Good for you, Father.
It got segments of mandarin orange in it.
I know, Father, I made it.
Oh, stout fellow, keep up the good work.
He tapped out his pipe into the potpourri bowl Mother had bought in Dunoon all those years ago when I was in pigtails. He scratched vaguely at a dried egg stain on the right lapel of his alpaca jacket. Then he pottered towards the door. Before going out, he turned and said,
"Oh, I've just remembered that there's something I've got to tell you."
"And what's that, Father?"
"Winston's back."
"What?"
"Yeah, Winston's back. The brute's in the kitchen snoring his head off. He looks as if he spent all night in a monsoon dish. Do you think I could have junket for my supper tonight?"
We dashed past him. Rosie's elbow caught him flush in the ribs, and he cried out in pain. She didn't stop. She raced after me to the kitchen, and there, sitting in the old pine carver with his head resting on the table and snoring like a walrus, was Winston.
"Winston! Where on earth have you been?"
"Oh, Winston, you're back! We've been so worried about you. We've been petrified." But he did not stir. I shook him by the shoulders. I pummeled his back with my fists. I tugged at the hair on the nape of his neck. No response. And then Father, very carefully and very slowly, kneeled down beside him and bit him hard on the ankle.
"Like a bloody oak!"
I know that will wake him up. Never fails. Your mother used to do that to the Bedlington Terrier when it made a mess on the piano stool in Cornpore.
"Winston, what have you been up to?"
"I've been out, missus."
"I know you've been out, Winston, but where have you been?"
"Getting myself fixed up with a job, look."
"What job?"
"Oh, I'll show you. If you'd be so kind as to move your horses and step outside with me in the yard, I shall show you the fruits of my first day's labour."
We followed him outside onto the patio, and there, lying spread-eagled over the low retaining wall with its hanging lobelias and climbing nasturtiums, was a...
"Ah! It's a deer, Winston, and it's dead."
"Well, I knew it's dead, Dance. It's all part and parcel of my job, though."
"What job?"
"Poaching."
"What?"
"I've taken up work and employment as a poacher, and this deer is what I just poached them."
"Oh, splendid, old boy. Did you manage to trap a jar of red currant jelly as well?"
"No, but I shot a brace of swans on the river and done a good night's logging on the common, which I shall bring home tomorrow morning when my underpants has dried up."
"I don't believe this."
"You better add, Rosie. We're on the verge of a thriving business here. You cut this bugger up into joints and flog it to local butchers and we'll make a fortune. There's no shortage of supplies, see? There's enough deer round here to conquer the whole of Europe with our brand new venison export business. And we can flog off the antlers to make woggles for Boy Scouts, though. Listen to me, Nancy. What we does is this. We gets old William to drive the refrigeration lorries, and I'll buy him a Yorkie bar special and a map so he knows how to get to Dover. We gets Rosie here to design a coat of arms for our business correspondents through letters. And your old dad...
"Winston?"
Yes, Nancy?
"Where did this deer come from?"
"Simple. A doggo. You thought I was doing nothing when I was sitting up that old sycamore tree at the bottom of the garden, didn't you? Well, I wasn't. Oh, no. Old Winston was sorting out the lie of the land, look. And that's when I seen the source of my raw materials up."
"Where?"
"Well, that park on the other side of the river. 'Tis jam-packed with deer, hundreds and hundreds of the buggers, and they can't get out because there's these great stone walls all round it."
"But that's a royal park, Winston. It belongs to the Queen."
"I don't care who it belongs to, Nancy. That sort of consideration don't bother a professional poacher like what I am. Look, if I sees a swan on the river, I don't think to myself, 'Cor blimey, Charlie, I wonder if that belongs to Lester Pickett.' I just gets out my gun and I shoot it, look. Well, what are you all looking so upset about? I found myself gainful employment. You should be delighted. You should be thrilled there's more actors coming into the Exchequer, right?"
"I think I'd better have a word with you, Winston, in private."
"Certainly, Nancy. And may I say how tasty and desirable you're looking with your neck all flushed and your bosoms even in concert?"
I took him to my sewing room. He sat there silently, good as gold, as I explained to him the error of his ways. He shook his head sadly when I clarified for him the laws of ownership and private property. His mouth dropped open with disbelief when I told him of the standards of behaviour expected from members of the public using royal parks, including the playing of loud music on portable radios and the shooting of deer when camouflaged as a litter bin. At length, when I had finished, he shook his head and said,
oh dear, Nancy. I just can't fathom out the ways of you city folk. That I can't without a doubt."
"It's very simple, Winston. You respect other people's property."
"Why?"
"Because it's theirs."
"No, it ain't.
All them queens and lords and dukes, they stole the land off of us, greedy bastards. And nearly got so much land, they don't know what to do with it, look. Well, I'm giving them a few suggestions. I'll get rid of all their deer for them. I'll wring the necks of all them peacocks, which, in fact, I has already started, and you will find a fresh one hanging from a hook at the back of your garage and neatly plucked. Then, Nancy, they can concrete the whole lot over, build a slum for the workers and shopping precinct for the unemployed, and Bob's your uncle. You've got a proper city landscape. Simple, you see. I'm doing them a favour.
Winston.
Yes, Nancy.
You are not to shoot any more deer. You are not to murder any more swans or strangle any more peacocks. We do not behave this way in the city. That is not our modus vivendi in suburbia. Do I make myself perfectly clear?
Yes, Nancy. You does.
Good.
You makes it as clear as a pike staff that you are hell-bent on emasculating me from my masculinity.
What? Why?
Because, Nancy, poaching and logging's the only job what I am cut out for. You deprive me of that, and there ain't no Winston no more. No job, no Winston.
But you don't have to get a job, Winston. I was wrong to insist you did. Do what you wanted to do, Winston, when you moved in with us here. Help us around the house. Fit in new stench pipes and new cisterns for the cop loft. Work in the garden. Change William's typewriter ribbon. Wash Rosie's knickers. See to Father's lines of communication for his secret drinking. That's payment enough for us, Winston.
But it ain't for me, Nancy. I got my pride. See, I'm a proud man. Underneath these sweet stained wellies, there's a pair of pristine feet what keeps his body straight and upright and doesn't ask for no favours from nobody. I ain't gonna be your skivvy, Nancy. I ain't gonna be the simple country bumpkin what you shows off to your smart friends when they comes round to take supper with you and watch mucky late-night videos.
We do not have mucky videos in this house, Winston.
Your dad does. At his special request, I nicked half a dozen special for him last night from the local video shop with the sweaty armpits.
Oh, Lord. It's getting like Fagin's kitchen here.
Right, then. That is settled. I've made up my mind, Nancy. First thing tomorrow morning, I slings my hook and off I goes back to Winterleaf Gunner and my collection of the works of Mrs. Gaskell.
Oh, no, Winston. You can't do that. You can't walk out of our lives and go back to the stink and morass of the countryside. You're an intelligent man, Winston. It's hidden now, maybe, but I'll bring it all out for you. We'll go to the Natural History Museum. We'll go to the galleries and look at the paintings of Claude Manet.
Monet, Nancy. Manet's Christian name.
I don't care what his bloody Christian name was. You're staying, Winston, and that is that. Who's that?
It's me, William. I'm in my slippers. Not disturbing anything, am I?
Yes, you are. Go away.
I can't.
Why not?
There's a policeman at the front door looking for a person whose description sounds remarkably like that of Winston.
Oh, my God. Hide, Winston. Shut up your tree. Brick yourself up behind the chimney. Dress up in Rosie's clothes and disguise yourself as the Archbishop of Canterbury. Oh, gosh, oh, golly. What are we going to do?
Don't panic, Nancy. Don't get into a tiz-was. Look, I'll go down and see him for myself. Don't you worry. Old Winston will talk him round.
But you can't, Winston. You're not dealing with simple-minded yokel country bobbies questioning you about wife-swapping and selling nuclear secrets to the Russians. You're dealing with highly professional and sophisticated city law officers with all the powers and resources of modern technology, and call Nick Ross at their fingertips. Quick, shave your moustache off, dye your hair, and put sticking plasters over your nipples.
I'm going down, Nancy. I shall sort this out myself. Old Winston is a countryman, look, and countrymen don't give in and flee at the first into trouble, that they don't without a doubt. Steadfast and true we be, and if anyone tries to interfere with my habeas corpus, he'll get a swift kick in the ghoulies and a personal message to Ludovic Kennedy's answering machine on the telephone.
And with that, he strode out of the room. Instantly, William tried to hide behind my sewing machine. I told Rosie what had happened, and we held hands tightly. I told Father, and he said...
Splendid. They'll probably transport him. I'll be in my shed at the bottom of the garden if anyone wants to know where Australia is.
Winston was away for ages and ages, and then we heard him lumbering up the stairs, whistling softly through the blue-chipped gap between his two front teeth. He threw open the door and he said,
You'll be pleased to know that I have changed my mind.
Changed your mind, Winston?
Yes, I decided to stay.
Why?
Well, on account of George.
George? Who's George?
The Bobby downstairs. I'm just going to sprinkle a bit of foot powder under my armpits and then we're going up for a set.
I don't understand, Winston. I just do not understand.
Well, it's very simple, Nancy. Old George and me have been sat around the kitchen table in that chin wagon. A couple of bottles of stout, what he brought round special for me.
He brought you two bottles of stout? Why did he do that?
because he knows I like stout.
How? How does he know you like stout?
Well, same way as he knows I like pork scratchings, the works of Dornford Yates, unexpurgated, and bits of fluff with fat backsides and big bristles. It's very simple, look. Old George, he was in the station when my description went out. Well, naturally, he says to himself, I knows who that is, it is old Winston. I'll go down and have a bit of a natter with him and sort things out.
But how did he know where you lived?
Well, simple. He phoned the pub where I had left my forwarding address. And a brace of mallard and half a dozen ready-dressed coot with attendant giblet.
I don't understand. For Pete's sake, I do not understand.
Now, it's simple, Rosie. George is George A. Balls, son of my cousin Betty A. Balls, of the rampant proclivities. He joined the force here 5 years ago, look. I knew he worked at the police station outside the roundabout, which is why I left a brace of Canada geese and 3 ornamental mandarin duck in the back of his panda car. That's how he knew, conclusive, that it was me. Oh. Us country folks, my dears, we knows the ways of the world wherever we live, see. We sticks together, through thick and thin. And never mind the laws of jurisprudence and nicking what don't belong to you when you got a perfect alibi. So, now I got a mate, and we come to an understanding, and I have decided to stay. And besides, his mum, old Betty Abel, she's coming to stay with him for a month next week, and me and her's got some unfinished business to attend to. What first got started on the back seat of the Shara, the ladies' darts club out into Rockland Way. Well, don't look so gormless. You should be pleased. I'm staying. I'll sort you lot out, won't I? I'm going for a sesh with George tonight, and when I comes back, I'll be able to give you a list of all the best after-hours bruises in the neighbourhood and where you can get under-the-arm spare tyres for your Volvo estate. Favourite, eh? Favourite!
He smiled at us and left the room. We just stared at each other, aghast and astonished. And then we heard the front door bang. We looked out of the window, and there were Winston and George, arm in arm, walking down the front path. And I swear that on the back of the trousers of the police constable was a small cluster of brightly coloured peacock feathers and a shimmer of fish scales. And then suddenly Father staggered out of the front door, and over his shoulders he had Winston's deer, and he shouted at the top of his voice,
I say, oh old boy, officer, I say, I think you've forgotten this.
And all I could think of was this. Thank God Winston hadn't spent the night in Windsor Safari Park with the dolphins.